The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is one that couldn't be more important, and it's climate change and its effect on our environment and human and community health. And before we introduce our guests, would you like to tell us a little bit about the health effects of climate change? I know it's reached the radar screens of the New York State Department of Health and the prevention agenda, and certainly many of our local leaders. So tell us a little bit about what you see out there.
Sure, and it's also reached the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, which is our federal body that oversees these kinds of things and helps us to deal with them. Then there's widespread scientific consensus that the world's climate is changing. And some of these changes will likely include more variable weather, you know, with stronger wave weather patterns, hurricanes and tornadoes and the like, heat waves, heavy precipitation events, flooding, droughts, more intense storms, the sea level is rising, air pollution is increasing. And, you know, each of these could potentially negatively impact public health. And while it is basically it's a global issue and a global concern, and the effects of climate change could vary depending on your geographic region and population. However, it is ultimately going to, in one way or another, impact all of us. And it really is beholden upon all of us to start making the kinds of changes we need to make in order to mitigate these effects.
In a big hurry, no less.
Absolutely.
And on that note, I'd like to introduce our guest, who happens to be an old friend, an associate from Stone Ridge and Marbletown when I was in office there. His name is Tim Guinea, and Tim is a leader and mentor in former Vice President Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. He's also the chair of the Hudson Valley and Catskills chapter of that organization. He also serves on the leadership of Riverkeeper, who we know very well, and the board of the Ashokan Institute. He is also an actor and a director and a longtime local volunteer fireman, which is an essential job out there. And he comes to us with a great hat that says, Make Earth Cool Again.
Hey, I
welcome,
love it.
Tim.
Welcome, Tim.
Good morning.
So, Tim, tell us about the Climate Reality Project and how it got started with Vice President Gore.
Yeah, so Vice President Gore started the project in 2005. He realized that making speeches alone, he didn't have kind of the bandwidth he needed. So he started in his barn in Tennessee. He had, I think, 50 people who he trained. There are now over 17,000 of us trained around the world. We just had a training about a month ago where 2,300 new people were trained. And the idea is to try and keep us exposed to the very latest science so that we can go out and hopefully effectively communicate the urgency of this crisis, as well as the incredible amount of solutions we have to it. So that's how it got going. But it's a big, powerful thing from starting in somebody's barn.
Mm-hmm. And that launched with Inconvenient Truth, right, with the movie and the initial book. I know he has a second book now, which I just got.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the timeline, but, you know, it's all consistent with the effort.
So how did you make the journey from being a professional actor and director to getting involved in climate change work?
So I'd always been involved environmentally. When I was 13 years old, I got a letter from Jacques Cousteau. When I tell this story to young people, they don't know who he is, which is crazy to me. But it was a letter that went out to thousands of people. We weren't pen pals or anything, but it described what the scientists were predicting, the melting of the glaciers and the polar caps. And it terrified me as a 13-year-old. And I, like you guys, have seen many of those things to come true in my life. I worked for a long time as an environmental advocate. And I'll just say I have a strong sense that I have a responsibility to try and leave this planet in better shape than it was when I got here. About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I was supposed to leave the following day to go help train people to do this work. And I had a real moment of, I just heard the C word, and do I just want to stay home and be with my wife? And a real recognition that, no, I wanted to do something honorable with my time. I wanted to be in service of something honorable. I've had the extraordinary gift of consciousness on this planet, and I want other people to be able to have it. And luckily, the cancer thing has been dealt with and was good, but that was a profound gift of that proximity to mortality, to realize kind of the depth of my sense of commitment to this.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, in a way, why we stay engaged in the work that we do in public service, because, mm-hmm. We're here to make a difference. If we're here to just consume, what resources and concentrate on self-interest and accumulating wealth,
right?
What's the point? Before I ask you about the effects of climate change in the Hudson Valley, I just want to read a little bit of something from the recent United Nations report on the International Commission on Climate Change. And they say that that greenhouse gases that are at a level unequaled for more than 400,000 years. And scientists predict that if the increase in greenhouse gas emissions continue unabated, temperatures will rise by as much as 10 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the century. And they say those consequences will have profound ramifications for humanity and the world as a whole. Water supplies in some critical areas will dwindle as snow and ice disappear. Sea levels will rise, threatening coastal populations. Droughts and floods will become more common, and hurricanes and other powerful storms will increase in intensity. Adding to that threat will be the impacts of climate change on agricultural production, the spread of disease, and human health will be jeopardized by all of these changes. Now, we know that, fortunately, in the Hudson Valley and in Ulster County, specifically in Kingston, we have some really forward-thinking leadership in County Executive Mike Hine, who has led the way in making Ulster a net carbon-neutral community, one of the first in New York State, generating a lot of power by renewable sources. We have Steve Noble, our mayor in Kingston, who's doing some wonderful work on the waterfront with respect to resiliency. You and I were at that conference this past Friday. But tell us, from your perspective, what do you see the effects being right here in the Hudson Valley?
Well, I want to address the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, really briefly. So the report says we have until 2030 to keep to 1.5 degrees Celsius warming. If we go past that, we're going to go to 2 degrees by 2040. Then that doesn't sound like anything. Mm-hmm. The truth is 2 degrees means out of a million things I can tell you about, but picking one, it means 99% of the coral reefs are dead, which impacts the collapsing of fisheries. An enormous amount of the world's people eat those fish. So when we talk about climate change, we're really talking about millions of people being affected. As we sit here pre-recording this, Hurricane Willa, a Category 5 hurricane, which jumped up within a 24-hour period to Category 5, is about to slam into Mexico, followed by Tropical Storm Vicente. We're still counting the dead in Florida, North Carolina. I have a friend who's a Republican vice squad detective, and I mention his political affiliation only because sometimes climate change is seen as a Democrat or a Republican issue, and it's not. The weather doesn't care. Their house was submerged in 40 feet of water during Florence. When they came back, it was a total teardown. It was also filled with human fecal matter. A sewage treatment plant overflowed. Now, we will hear a huge amount of things about what's going on from Michael in Florida, what's going on with Florence. What we don't hear about is that during Florence, there were seven other major cyclonic events taking place all around the world. The cyclone that hit the Philippines, I was actually with the Philippine Council on Human Rights at the Bar Association 2 weeks ago. While luckily they didn't experience the same loss of life, thousands and thousands of farmers lost their crops. People who do not have economic engines of resiliency, insurance, to help them get back on their feet. So we're talking, and we have to be clear, our decisions now, we're talking about millions of people. And I'm going to use a word which is provocative, perhaps, but I don't think ill-used, and that word is genocide. And I think for all of us, right now, we have to decide whether or not we want to participate in genocide. You know, Pope Francis, when he visited the Philippines, there was a big typhoon called Haiyan that hit the Philippines, displaced 1.1 million people. And Pope Francis said, the very gravest effects of our attacks on the environment are suffered by the poorest. Mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is they are the most affected. Right. The truth of the matter is women, people of color, gay, lesbian folks, the elderly, mm-hmm. mentally ill, are profoundly more affected than the rest of us. Right. So not only is this a question of survival, it's a real moral question. And if I use the word genocide, I also have to use a phrase like moral opportunity, because mm-hmm. we have an opportunity to rise to a kind of nobility of possibility mm-hmm. within ourselves in dealing mm-hmm. with this crisis.
And with 3/4 of the world's cities, most populated world cities, many of them very poor, being located in coastal areas, they're going to be really impacted. And, you know, just in terms of destroying cropland and flooding cropland right. and droughts and famine, you know, those are the kinds of things where that even before it gets to a shortage of food, as food prices escalate, for every percentage point that food gets more expensive, more people simply don't eat.
That's right. And there's, you know, the international organization on migration is predicting 250 million climate refugees by 2050. Problematically, the United Nations doesn't recognize climate refugees as being refugees yet. So we have a lag in legal understanding. And also just to mention, as far as assets are concerned, cities looked at by assets, Newark is the third biggest city that's going to get affected by the rising oceans that you just mentioned.
So we want to hear a lot more about all of this, but Tim, we're going to take a short break right now. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital. Members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Tim Guinea, who is a leader in the local Climate Reality Project chapter and has devoted a great deal of his time to the issue of climate change. And we're very fortunate that he is one of our residents in Ulster County. You know, Tim, when you were talking before about, you know, the impact, the global impact, how many millions are impacted, you know, we very often tend to look at situations, maybe it's a little bit of self-protection, I don't know, but that's them. It's not going to be me. It's not going to be us. Well, the reality reality of it is, as the poem goes, don't ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. It is tolling for all of us. We're all impacted on a global level, a national level, a state level, and certainly a local level right here in Ulster County. And we are working very hard with our leadership, our county executive Mike Hine and Mayor Steve Noble, to start making those changes that we need to make to be more resilient to the effects of climate change. So can you tell us a little bit more about what your experience is on this local level in combating this impending issue?
Yeah. So looked at locally, just some of the things that we're seeing. There's been a 71% increase in extreme precipitation events since 1958, which is hammering the farmers and hammering wastewater plants and it having all kinds of effects. New York is seeing much more profoundly than some of the rest of the United States the effects of climate change. The rest of the United States is up about 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit. We're up almost 2 degrees Fahrenheit. In the winter, we're up about 5 degrees Fahrenheit from what we should normally be. There are huge health effects from that. One of the things that happens as the planet's warming is that tropical viruses are expanding their ranges. So the Zika virus, the main mosquito carrying the Zika virus is now on the southern tip of New York. And just looked at as an example, the way climate change is affecting that mosquito is its range has increased. Its metabolism is sped up, so it bites more often. There's a longer warm period, so it reproduces more often. There are more reproductive generations per year, so the population is growing. The virus inside the mosquito incubates faster because its metabolism is sped up. So it used to be that that mosquito only had about 2 days as an active vector. Now it has more days. So the possibility of getting Zika has increased.
And tick-borne diseases as well.
Absolutely.
That's right. And exactly the same kind of fundamental things are happening with the ticks. So they're biting more often. Their metabolism sped up. They have larger breeding cycles. So the populations are increasing. So those are profound medical effects that we're seeing. Another one, speaking of insects moving north, the southern pine beetle last year for the first time made it all the way to Albany. I'm a firefighter. I fought the Minnewaska fire, which was a terrible fire. And, you know, we're almost all volunteer houses here, and we have kids called junior firefighters. You're taking into that pyrolic environment, which is an extraordinarily unstable fire environment, and we can expect more of that. Our fuel loads are going to increase. We're going to have more dead trees. So it is affecting us. Now, to the other side of it, you know, you have we just passed a plastic bag ban that Mr. Hine just signed into law. That is not unrelated from climate change. We use about 30 million plastic bags in this country every year. It takes 12 million barrels of oil to produce those.
That's right.
That's equivalent to the entire U.S. strategic reserve for plastic. Those microplastics don't just go down. We hear a lot about them collecting in the terrible junk islands in the ocean. But a study in The Guardian 2 weeks ago came out saying 50% of freshwater aquatic insects have microplastics in them. Mm. They're inside us now.
And fish.
Right.
That's the fish populations.
Right. That's right. That's right. So that's a great step. You know, we have a thing called the 100% Committed campaign through the Climate Reality Project, where businesses and universities and things like that sign up to commit by 2030 to move to being 100% renewable electricity. Ulster County is a member of that. There's six towns in the county that are members. A lot of businesses, from big businesses like Bread Alone to like tiny little family chicken farms, like the Little Egg Farm. We are an extraordinarily progressive place. However, as the IPCC report highlights, we don't have time for half measures anymore.
Right.
At all. So
yeah, it says here we need a cut of 45% from present levels by 2030, and they need to be eliminate greenhouse gases by 2050, and that would keep the temperature around 1.5 above pre-industrial levels. But we're nowhere near that. And in fact, we're going backwards as we speak.
Yeah. But however, we have the technology we need to get there right now. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of public will and adoption of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and this stuff isn't brand new. Charles Fritz created the first solar array in 1884 in New York City. And if you go over to the Rhinecliff Aerodrome, they have a car there called a Baker Electric. It was an electric car. It was produced, I think, 1884 through 1925. It's one of five in the country that are left. Jay Leno owns one, but you should go see it. So it's not newfangled technology. It's really a matter of public will and creating will in the government to move these things forward. Mm-hmm. We have what we need, mm-hmm. which is perhaps a reason why, as a moral and ethical issue, it's twice as diabolical. Because if we're not participating in the solution, right. which is readily available, right. we really are culpable.
And I know a lot of critics say, you know, that there's that, you know, that environmental initiatives and renewables, whatever, are against economic development, are yeah. going to you know, burden industry. But in reality, we know that the number of green jobs that have been created by renewables has far exceeded
That's right.
the coal industry and other, even the petroleum drilling industry.
Yeah. Los Angeles actually decreased their greenhouse gas emissions last year by 11% while their economy grew. There are nine times as many jobs in renewables as there are in renewable jobs are growing nine times faster than the overall economy. The top job category in the United States right now is solar installer. The second one is wind turbine service technician. There is a huge economic engine and possibility we need to get behind, and somehow we're shackled to this.
And we're ceding it to the Chinese. I mean, talk about, you know,
yes.
Mr. Trump being interested in, you know, Chinese ripping us off. We're ceding industries that we held a clear lead in mm-hmm. and then turning it over to others to, yeah. to move forward with.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, that's right. Take a deep breath.
It's true. You know, I mean, you know, I have a son and he's just entering his adulthood. And, you know, we owe it to our children for sure to not abandon this effort or to sell out to large corporate structures or institutions in the name of their profits, which really, you know, it is a moral issue for sure. We can't just stand by and let this go on. We absolutely need to act. So we really appreciate the efforts that you've put into this, Tim, for sure, and for recognizing, you know, what this issue is when you did, and for your dedication to working toward making a change.
You know, I was at a conference this last weekend on climate change, and it ended with a group of young people on stage talking and venting some anger at the older people. But the last kid who spoke said, "Don't you dare think of me as your safety net." And I found that just profound.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be either. Yeah. The other thing we should just quickly mention is solutions. Please vote. Could be your number one
Absolutely.
Solution. And changing a light bulb matters. You know, there's a study that says that to the degree we do small things, it empowers us to do bigger things. But it's a big, giant issue. So while you're changing the light bulb, have the courage to dream really large about right. what you can do.
Right.
Absolutely.
And Tim, if people want more information about this, about the organization, and also practical steps that they can take in their own lives, where do they go?
You could go to climatereality.org if you want to find out about the Climate Reality Project. But also, there are the Sierra Club, 350.org. There are a number of citizens, New Yorkers for Clean Power. Mm-hmm. There are a number of great organizations, all desperate for the help that only you can give. So just join somebody.
So folks,
and
get
if you
busy.
have any question about the profound health effects of all of this, go on the CDC's website. They right. have it all listed, all the systems that are negatively impacted by this issue. So you absolutely go and find out, do your research, and then act.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have available. It always goes too fast. Thank you.
You've had at least one person it didn't go too fast. I think you're lying. There's somebody it's gone way too slow.
Yes, absolutely. Good ending note. On that note, you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.